Welcome to Surviving Life with the Van Billies. My name is Daniel Van Billy. I'm not alone. In the building right next to me is the lovely Lady V.
Hello, good morning.
Are you frozen?
No, thank God for tea. Thank God for coffee.
For tea and coffee?
Yes, and as you listen to us, you better grab your tea, your coffee, your blanket. It seems to be snowing in Africa. I don't know if something is
apparently
off.
You Africans were eating the snow. You know, was it delicious, Leticia?
From what I can see, it was wonderful. I'm not in the snow areas, but it was wonderful.
Man, South Africa is just one of those amazing countries. We make the most out of any situation. You know, it's snowing and we were all laughing, freezing at the same time. But you know what? We're here to warm your hearts today. What is our topic?
So today we're talking about knowing your enemy, but we're talking about it in a very practical way. So of course we know that our enemy is the deceiver. I'm quickly going to read 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 9. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. You know that there is an enemy. Despite how we like to live a lot of times as believers, there is an enemy, and this enemy is always looking to destroy the children of God. But defeating Goliath, Pharaoh, Jezebel, Saul, and even Haman did not have the same strategy. God gives divine wisdom on how to deal with specific enemies. So the question is, do you know what's fighting you? Do you know your enemy? Ultimately, we know that it's the devil that attacks us, and he can use people, but he is a mastermind. And sometimes the mastermind fights you in your mind and changes your perception of the world and the Word of God.
So today I am going to put on my interview hat and I'll be interviewing Lady V. Leticia Van Billy is on the hot seat and we'll be discussing how the enemy attacked her for years. I want you guys to not change the dial. It's about to get deep.
Time for the recap.
All right, so today's show is going to be a bit different. I'm sitting in the interview seat. And I've got Leticia Van Billy right next to me. Leticia, we're talking about knowing your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was your enemy for many years?
Ooh, I love this topic, but at the same time, it's a very sensitive topic because I know it's something that people walk through and live through. Mm. My issue for 30 years of my life was chronic depression, and I was on mood stabilizers for 5 years between the ages of 17 and 22. So that was my big thing. Yeah.
Wow. So what are mood stabilizers?
So when I was in high school, I woke up one morning and I said to the Lord, if you don't do something today, I'm going to kill myself. And I was serious enough that morning, as I was, you know, sitting in my classroom, I got called to the principal's office over the intercom. And I was such a nerd that I never for a second thought that I was in trouble. My thought processing was, wait, it's not award season. Why are they calling me? You know? Yeah. And when I went to the principal's office, she wanted to speak to me because there was a girl that was receiving Christian counseling. The counselor in our school was a Christian. Mm-hmm. And she was from Cameroon and she spoke French and nobody could translate for her. And I was a senior student doing French at the time. And so the principal said, we need someone to confidentially translate these sessions so that we can help this girl. And immediately I was like, oh shucks, I can't do it now because I'm helping this girl. Yeah. But during that first session, the Christian counselor picked up things in me. We ended up having a session and she said, you need to be on meds. So basically the meds that she gave me would help to stimulate happy hormones because I'd been through so much at that point that she felt I didn't have enough of it. She even had a meeting with my father. And all three of us sat down and she explained to him why I needed to have these medications every month.
So what were you dealing with? What was the diagnosis?
The diagnosis was chronic depression, chronic continuous depression. And she kind of diagnosed it from the age of about 6 up okay. until that time that I was 17.
All right. So as a Christian, you know, if someone's listening right now, and they've not had depression before, you know, because before we go into whether it's a a clinical thing or a spiritual thing. You know, I just want us to talk as someone who had depression.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to have depression?
It's like walking around the world with glasses that are maybe like a shade of green. And everyone's trying to tell you that the world is blue, the world is pink, the world is purple. And you're just kind of looking at them like, what are you even talking about? So it's not that simple, because it's how you see the world. You can even reframe what people tell you. Like, for example, all my life, if someone said, you're so beautiful, my immediate thought would be, what do you want? Mm. What do you want from me? Mm. And that thought processing actually came from the fact that I was traumatized by that as a child. I think that's what's important to talk about. And I know we're going to get into it today, but how some of these things come about, how your perception changes. Listen, the thing is, the enemy just needs to get you when you're a child.
So are you saying that someone who's depressed cannot see things in the way we would logically want them to see it?
Yeah, I mean, logic is... What's the word? It's logic isn't logic, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Logic isn't logic. You see the world through the voices in your head. That's it. And they are voices in your head. That's characteristic of depression, is that there's something constantly telling you that you're not good enough, that you don't deserve anything. And if anyone says something different to that, you will fight them.
Wow. Is it something you can snap out of? Because, you know, and I'm thinking also for parents who might be dealing with a child who's currently depressed, you know, is it, are they pretending, you know, can they just get up and, you know, see things right? Or is it something deeper than that?
Oh, it's much deeper than that. I mean, I don't remember a time in my life when I was happy. And you know, because you were there during that deliverance when I was 30 years old. So that was like 3 years ago, when I finally began to learn what it was like to be happy and what it's like to actually feel joy. I think when it comes to depression, we have to become more comfortable about walking a journey with a person and not thinking that it's a once-off thing, because what causes depression is much deeper than just one conversation, and the Lord must give us grace to actually walk a journey with a person and not expect it to be done immediately. Obviously, it can be done immediately. It was done for me at 30 with one prayer and deliverance, but it was 30 years of coming out of that.
Wow. You want to stay tuned? We've got Letitia on the hot seat today. We're talking about what is fighting you, knowing your enemy, and we're focusing on depression. You're still hanging out with the Vambellies, and yes, we are talking to Letitia, and we've put her on the hot seat. We're talking about knowing your enemy. What are you fighting in life? Have you identified it? Are you able to properly address it, knowing exactly what it is? Now, Letitia, you started telling us about your fight with depression.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you, as a believer, you know, can a believer be depressed? You know, shouldn't it be that when we are born again, you know, and we encounter Christ, everything is gone?
I think... this is my personal opinion, and I know a lot of people speak about this doctrinally, but what I've seen in my personal walk and with other people that we've counseled and prayed with is it feels like what the scriptures are saying is that once you come to Jesus, you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that you're saved and therefore you're saved, is that everything is available to you at that moment. The grace doesn't increase as you go. No, every bit of grace is available to you. Mm. But that the journey between God and the believer, the new believer, is just that. It's a journey. Let's talk about the day you got saved versus now. Would you say you're the same person?
Totally not.
Totally
not. I'm wiser.
Exactly.
I've gone through a lot more.
Yes.
You know, mind you, I've been saved now, I'd say 20 years plus,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not the same person.
Exactly. You know, when the scripture speaks about be ye transformed, you know, and do not be conformed to the things of this world, we must be honest about the fact that when we get saved, there are a lot of things of the world that are still on us. Mm. And this belief that because I'm saved, I'm fine, the truth is that the walk with the Lord transforms you. Mm. The longer you walk with God, the more that grace and that love begins to change who you are. So to answer your question, if you get saved on that day and you've battled depression for years, mm. or alcoholism or whatever your thing is, can you be removed from that affliction on that day? Absolutely. Mm. Is that true for everybody? No. Some people have to walk a journey because the roots of this thing can be so deep. I'm going to use quite a...
Sorry, before you move on,
yes.
before you add on to this,
yeah.
I've seen in scripture, right, where there are people where Jesus says a word and they are immediately delivered. Mm-hmm. And then there are those where after he didn't act on them, mm-hmm. he maybe sends them to the priest. Mm-hmm. And scripture says as they went,
yes.
they then got healed. Now, I've got a conundrum. And I think this is where believers are struggling. How can the person who got healed instantly understand the journey of the person who didn't get healed instantly? Mm-hmm. And also, how does the person whose healing is not instant deal with the fact that someone else's healing was instant?
You know, I think as believers, we have this thing of thinking that God put us on this earth so we can mimic someone else's journey. Mm. The first thing we need to understand is that my journey is not Letitia's journey. Danny's journey is not your journey. And once you begin to marry with God on what it is he placed you here for, mm. then you can begin to understand how he's dealing with you. So let me use an example. Someone may have been delivered of depression instantly, mm. but go on to live the abundant life that God wants them to do. It took 30 years for me to be delivered of depression, but I also have a degree in psychology and we counsel so many people, and I'm on a show talking about how the journey with God is filled with ebbs and flows. Maybe my journey took longer because there's a way that I'm supposed to understand this thing because God has actually called me to deal with it. Everything isn't about our comforts and how quickly we can get out of something. Sometimes the Lord wants to show you. I mean, I was devastated that we were married and I was depressed. Mm. I was devastated to give you a depressed wife, to be a depressed mother to my children. But that also means that I understand the depressed wife and I understand the depressed mother. That was my journey. And you have to identify your enemy, submit it to God, and allow him to tell you why you're even there.
Wow. So some of you who are going through long trials, it's also connected to your purpose. You know, it's not God punishing you or God favoring someone else and healing them while he doesn't heal you, but it's part of your long-term journey. You can WhatsApp us on 071-364-0376 as we have this conversation. We don't know what long ordeal you've been dealing with, what long enemy is in your life, but we are here to talk. Yes. That's Chris Tomlin with Always.
Let your soul come alive on Impact 103.
So you hang out with the Vambillies, and we have put Letitia Vambilly on the hot seat as we discuss what her enemy in life was, and it was depression. Mm-hmm. Now, Letitia, when dealing with depression, the next thing that naturally comes up in the Christian environment is this a spiritual issue or is this a medical issue?
Mm. Before I go into that, I think that this question and what we decided is brings a lot of us believers to an impasse. Because some of us are standing 10 toes down that this is completely spiritual. Others of us are standing 10 toes down that this is completely physical and it's a psychological phenomenon. And I personally don't care what it is. God doesn't want it for you. Whether it's spiritual or it's physical, the Bible says that I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. When there's an affliction, God doesn't want that for you. So I just want to make that clear. But I want to go to scripture and show you instances where this thing is spiritual. Depression in the Bible is mentioned as being spiritual, particularly with Saul's situation. If you go to 1 Samuel 16 verse 14, it says, "Now the spirit of the Lord had left Samuel, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear."
Wow.
That's now something we cannot debate. There is a tormenting spirit that fills people with depression. But now I want to go to another scripture. I'm going to parallel two of Jesus's healings. Luke 9 verse 42. It says, "Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father." The scripture I'm paralleling that with is Luke 4 verses 38 to 39, which says, "Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her." Verse 39. "So he bent over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them." So in Luke 9 verse 42, we see Jesus rebuking the spirit. In Luke 4 verse 39, we see Jesus rebuking the fever. So this goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. Whether it's just a fever or it's a spirit, it's not something that the Lord wants you to be afflicted with. Now, here's the problem when we say that every sickness is purely spiritual, even though a lot of them are. It's that some of our sicknesses are not caused by a tormenting spirit, but it's caused by rebellion. It's caused by a lack of self-control. For example, is high blood pressure a spirit, or is high blood pressure a result of lifestyle choices? So we have to be responsible in how we talk about these things, because on the medical side of things, some people are born with an insufficient amount of serotonin. So that's the happy, you know, the happy hormones. Can God deliver you from that? Yes. But has God made available Christian counselors and medicines that can help with that? Yes. Does God ever want you to rely on medicine for the rest of your life? No. God doesn't want any of that. An abundant life does not include you having a crutch for the rest of your life.
Wow. So how do we then accept that balance as believers? And I believe that's what we're here to discuss. You know, we don't want you to feel that you only have to focus on the spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah.
We also don't want you to only feel that you have to focus on the medical aspect of this.
Yes.
Because we also seeing Jesus healing people differently, sometimes addressing the spiritual problem and other times attacking the sickness. You know, so sit around the table. 071-364-0376 is where you can let us know what you're going through as we discuss depression. You're with the Vambillies on 103.
Bringing the heart of the music. Impact 103.
As we have this discussion on depression, we're actually talking about identifying your enemy. And Letitia is just saying to us, in her life, what she was fighting was the spirit of depression. And for those of you who've just tuned in, she did go through the medical aspect of it. She was on medication for quite a long time. And then came a time when the Lord called her out and delivered her from the depression. So we are introducing both views, that there's a spiritual element to depression, and then there's also a medical element to it. Now, before we dive a bit deeper, I want to pose a question again. Letitia, when you're dealing with someone who cannot understand the concept of depression, what do we do? Let me say, maybe you are, there's someone listening right now, and they just can't believe that their born again partner or child has depression.
You know, the best way to answer this is to talk about how I went through it.
Mm.
So there are different types of depression. The one I went through is called high-functioning depression. And that's the worst one because it's the one where you are so hardworking. You are, if it's success, you are there. You are successful.
Mm.
And it's even harder for people to understand. And I'm talking about success in terms of school, etc., things like that.
So you're saying you were an A student.
A student.
But you were depressed.
But I was depressed. And I was using my academics as a way to kind of deal with the depression. High-functioning depressive people kind of use it as a form of purpose. Another person that you might have seen but not known it was high-functioning is the Miss America contestant who committed suicide last year. Very successful, beautiful Miss America. And those are the hardest types of depression to figure out because the person's life looks like it's all together. What I can say is when I got delivered, this was my experience while being prayed for. Okay, you're going to have to use spiritual eyes for this. I was like a light up in the ceiling. And I was watching you lay hands on me as I'm wriggling around. And this ball of light came back into my body. And when I opened my eyes, guys, I couldn't believe I was married. I looked at Danny like, who is this man? Is this my house? The children came in. I was like, are these my kids? The grass was greener. The sky was more blue. And I said, Lord, how did I achieve all this completely dissociated? So a depressed person is going through some level of dissociated. So light dissociation is, for example, when you drive from home and you go to work and you don't know how you got to work. I can't ask you how many times did you shift the gear. That's a light form of dissociation. A high form of dissociation is being there but not being present. So the person you're talking to is not present. There's something else happening in their psyche. And what's happening in their psyche informs their lives, not the other way around.
Mm.
So that's what's tough about dealing with someone who's seeing life that way. It's definitely not simple, but I think the empathy in understanding, I think the first step is knowing that you can't understand. And that's where God gets involved. Because when someone is in the state, there is no amount of anything that can help except the intervention of God for that person personally.
Wow.
Yes.
And I think maybe for parents or husbands, you know, having gone through this with my wife, you know, it's hard to not or to understand something you've not completely been through. Or when things are supposed to be happy, but you can see that your child or your partner cannot receive that happiness. So we want to encourage you to... Is there something you want to say?
Yes, I actually want to ask that after the break, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but after the break, I want to ask Danny what it was like to be with a depressed person. It's that time of the show where we read your messages. And because of the sensitivity of today's topic, of course, we won't be reading any names. Everyone's anonymous. The first person says, this topic on depression is such a blessing because I've battled depression and anxiety for all my life. I'm 42 years old and at the moment I am defected, really. I use food to self-soothe and my weight has spiraled because of it. I have battled this my entire life and I am just exhausted. You know, as someone who battled this for a larger portion of my life, the first step is find your triggers. You know, scripture says, cast your burdens onto Jesus for he cares for you. But I always ask the people, if you don't know what your burdens are, how can you cast them? So the moment you identify the pathology, the moment you identify the burden, cast it onto Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. But know your triggers. And I know we're going to get into that later. But begin to realize what are the things that make you eat and then submit those things to God. And you'll see how he'll lead you in the way that you should go.
I know you and I have seen a lot in counseling.
Yeah.
And I just want to bring an aspect of that. Because when I read here, someone who says, I've battled this my entire life. You know, there's literature that suggests that some children are born having picked up from the womb,
mm-hmm.
maybe the depression from their parents and their surroundings. And such a person could not even know
where it's coming
where
from.
Where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So, well, can you touch on that a bit for
okay,
us?
Okay, when I was doing psychology in my second year, we actually had an exercise where there was a lady that was depressed her whole life. And she and this counselor had worked for years. And the counselor said, you know what? This is an in utero situation. Go ask your mother what happened when you were pregnant. Mm. When she went to her mother then told her a horrific story of how she initially didn't want the pregnancy and stuck a knitting needle up herself to try and harm the baby. Mm. And now this child, you still have a world in utero, and this is for the pregnant women. Mm. If you are in an environment where there's physical abuse or there's the kind of talk that puts people down, that baby, how does the baby know you're the mom or you're the dad instinctively when they're born? It's because they have a life while they're in the womb. Mm. And some of the depression comes from the life in the womb, or parents saying things like, no, I didn't want a boy, or I didn't want a child. That child is hearing that, and that's where the depression actually becomes more spiritual than physical. Mm. Because this is an experience of sadness that this person doesn't pinpoint in a life, but they've always had it. And even for that person, the journey to even finding that out starts with finding your triggers. It's a slow process of recognizing, this is giving me anxiety. The question is, what do you do with the anxiety? I tend to find that we are so comfortable with our pathologies. You know, if you go on TikTok, people will be like, oh, I have anxiety. My anxiety. You know, the principle of being saved is a spiritual principle. It's not a Christian thing. Mm. If you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, it moves things in the spirit realm. So if you constantly confess and believe, I have anxiety, I have anxiety, I have depression, mm. this thing becomes your identity. Mm. And it's not even your identity.
You're making it a part of you.
Yes, you are confessing that this is who I am and this is how I operate. Mm. And so I would suggest to the person, don't just know you have anxiety. Don't just know you battle depression. In the moment that you feel the anxiety, in the moment that you feel the depression, that's why we're saved, because God is there. Give that anxiety to Him, give that depression to Him, and you could be shocked at how God leads you in a way outside of how you've been dealing with it for your whole life.
And I also want to encourage, because I've also seen that when we've dealt with certain cases in counseling, people have become so familiar with their situations that they no longer question it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so a part of you and it's so normal. And sometimes you can find families that live in dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And as a family, we can say, the Kumalos, you know how the Kumalos are. We're always depressed or we're always angry. And when that depression is now associated with the Kumalos or the Furies or the Jacobs, It becomes a familiar spirit that easily dwells and is accepted and it's accommodated. And you know, when you react in that way, people can say, he's just being a furry.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's just how the Vambilis are. And that is a strategic way that the enemy continues generational oppression. And if we as believers don't pause and think, wait a minute, why have we accepted this as a family?
Yeah.
Why are we choosing to identify with the spirit instead of calling it out? You know, it's like having a thief in your house where you all say, that's our thief. He steals our joy. You know, he causes us to do this. But no one is saying, that's actually a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Call that thief out and call it out. So don't own the anxiety. And I'm not saying it's not real. In fact, I'm saying it's real and it is there. But don't take ownership of it.
I just want to read Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares us.
Mm.
And this is the New Testament. So this is after you're saved.
Mm.
Where the Lord is saying, now that we are here, now that we are saved,
mm.
we have a crowd of witnesses that can help us against the hindrances, which means they are still hindrances,
mm.
and the sin that so easily ensnares us. It's an easy sin. It's an easy belief.
It's something you're familiar with.
It's a pathology that you've just accepted. I think no matter how long you've battled depression or anxiety, do not accept it. Pathologize it. Say, God, this is a problem. The moment you accept it, that's when it can flourish even more.
Wow. And, you know, we're not talking from a know-it-all place. We've just walked it as well. And at some point, as a family, we also had to say, no, not in our house.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going down to our children. Stay blessed. You can speak to us on 071-3640-376. You're with the Vambillies on 103 FM. And, you know, we're doing things differently today. We're talking, we started off interviewing Letitia. That's why I'm on the driver's seat. You know, she's a guest today. Hello, guest.
Hi.
You're a beautiful guest.
Thank you. I'm married.
Oh, are you married? Yeah, lucky guy that is. Well, if you don't know, she's married to me. Very lucky. Letitia. There are people messaging, and you know, someone just said here, which is very good, Annalise, she hopes that this discussion will be available on other platforms because her husband's family struggles with depression. Where can people find this topic we're having right now?
Okay, so there are a few places you can find it. You can find it on the Impact 103 website under podcasts. You can definitely find it there. Then, of course, Impact 103 has got a YouTube channel called Impact Online. You can find the in-studio version, the one we're doing today. And then the Uninterrupted Show that played last night, you can find that video on our personal YouTube channel called Surviving Life with the Vambillies. All those episodes will be available.
All right, so someone else has just messaged saying this has been a good topic. I've been in terrible pain and heartache because my husband has been considering leaving me. It's been such a tough, trying time to trust God in this, and it's causing me to have feelings of despair and depression. You know, so how do we deal with it when our present reality is causing us to feel depressed?
You know, we tend to debunk a lot on this show what the walk with the believer sounds like it's going to be and what the walk with the believer actually is. We should never make the mistake of isolating depression outside of the reality of what is going on. Your emotions were given to you by God as a way for you to understand what you're feeling and then self-regulate. Okay, if you're going through a divorce or a miscarriage or your house is being repossessed, there is no empathetic human being that expects you to be jumping up and down in joy. Okay, we need to make that clear. There's light depression, there's deep depression, there's chronic depression, there's all kinds of things. But sadness is something that tells you the condition of your soul. It's important. And in scripture, we see David being depressed in a lot of the Psalms, particularly Psalm 33 or 31 to 33 is where we see him speaking to God about what's happened while he's trying to run away from Saul. So we can't just say depression without looking at the factors that are surrounding why you feel that way. So for example, now we're talking about the potential separation of the marriage. It's not as easy as saying, God, heal me from the depression of this. It's much deeper than that. What's leading to the separation? What were the causes involved? What has God said about your situation? And so we have to make it clear that the feeling of extreme sadness is a normal mechanism of the human system. Does the Lord want us to be in joy? For the Bible says that in the presence of the Lord, there is joy, right? There is peace. There is, but all those things are experienced as we spend time with the Lord. But it doesn't stop a car from hitting your loved one. And, you know, you being expected to be in joy in that season. When it becomes dangerous is if this thing persists. So a clinically diagnosable mental issue in psychology or even medicine can only be diagnosed once it starts affecting your everyday life. So now you can't bath, you can't work, you can't eat. Now we're talking about something that's affecting your ability to live or even be alive. That's when it's a problem. But don't think it's a problem to feel extremely sad because your child is ill. And I think those distinctions are very important. Why are you sad? And does it warrant the feeling that you're going through? Either way, if it's a negative emotion, give it to the Lord in that moment. Do not allow your emotions to process your emotions. Your spirit must, the Spirit of God must process those emotions.
And if I may for a minute just have a second to talk with spiritual leaders. You know, I've experienced that sometimes spiritual leaders, in their need to help you,
in their well-meaningness,
can become inhumane. You know, and what I mean by this is, when John the Baptist died, Jesus cried. Now, Jesus is God. He knows where John the Baptist is and can see him if he wants to. I mean, Jesus went and met up with Moses on the mountain of Transfiguration. So if there's someone who didn't need to cry, it would be Jesus. But Jesus cried. So can I ask spiritual leaders to allow humans to be human, to cry?
David cries in most of the Psalms. The Psalms show us how to process.
Don't move people away from their humanity, because those emotions and dealings, if they don't happen later in life, that can now cause depression. If someone has lost a loved one and you don't allow them to mourn, then later in life, that person can struggle with depression because they didn't have a proper moment of mourning. So I'm just asking us to be sensitive and understand that those human mechanisms that God put there are supposed to function. And if you try to suppress it in the human being, you are actually interfering and causing problems. And this is why the professionals will tell you that it's only if it reaches a place where the person's unable to function, then it's a problem. But someone crying, someone being sad, you know, someone being shocked, someone being depressed is not the devil. Those are human mechanisms that the Lord has put there. So we invite you to stay tuned. When we come back, we will continue as we put Letitia on the hot seat. You're with the Vambillies on Surviving Life. And yes, we are going in. Just a very open-hearted conversation. And if you've just tuned in, we are speaking about identifying your enemy. And Letitia is sharing with us on what she had to walk through with depression.
So, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. When it comes to anything that you're fighting, in my case, it was depression for many years. I think the question as believers that we have to ask ourselves, babe, is this life abundant? Is this the abundance that God had promised me? It is so important to align with what God wants for us as opposed to what we've been through. I think that is the lie of our time. I am everything I've gone through. No, you are everything God says you are, and God informs why you went through what you went through. It wasn't necessarily to break you, it was to shape you. The Bible speaks of some people being the breaker and the restorer of the fallen cities. Do you know that to break what's been running in your family, you have to break? Earlier, we said that, you know, someone can be delivered in an instant. Someone can take a lifetime to get, you know, through a trial. But the question becomes, what is the cause, spiritually and otherwise, of my experience with depression versus the cause of your experience with depression. If my experience with depression comes from 6 generations ago, and now it's trying to steal from my saved life, because remember, a lot of saved believers feel disappointed by God that they're still going through some of these trials because of the error in belief. Listen, let me make this point. When the Apostle Paul speaks about going from a place of drinking milk to eating meat, when you become saved and all of the abundance of God's grace is available to you, think of yourself as a baby. There are certain things you don't yet know about Scripture. There's certain things you don't yet know about God. And as God works the journey with you, you mature. So a baby Christian will not be dealing with their lives like a 20-year-old Christian, for example. And this is not in human years. This is obviously spiritual, the degree to which you grow with God.
And this is not how long you've been saved.
Yes, this is not how long you've been saved. It's how long you've been doing the work as God leads. When God then leads you to those places, you have to begin to not just stop at the identification, but the submittance of what you're seeing. So what I mean by that is, I had to learn, and remember, this is at the beginning. I was completely delivered at 30, but then my brain wasn't delivered. My spirit was delivered, but my brain kept processing things the same way. And the Lord said to me, every single night before you go to bed, and I would encourage you, this is me encouraging some of you to do this. The Lord said to me, every night before you go to bed, sit with me. Give me quiet time. Let's talk about your day. Let's talk about what you went through, how you thought about it versus what I say it is. And for a good year, every night, I would sit with the Lord and say, this happened. It made me feel this way. And he would correct it. He would correct it through scripture. He would correct it through, you know, the audible voice sometimes. But one time specifically, the Lord said, I will fight this for you. And I said, no way, God. There's no way you would fight anybody for me, because we're all your children. And he took me to scripture where he said that to David. And that's when I knew, oh my goodness, you would fight for me like you fought for David. We have to understand that there's a spiritual healing, and then there's how you've trained your brain to see the world. And God has to take you through a different way of seeing the world, because you've been seeing it that way for so long. And that's a journey. And it's not this long, arduous, difficult. I've come to experience as a journey of love, man, to see how God kept me through all those emotions and all those feelings. And so I would encourage that you see it as a journey with the Lord. Don't hide your pain from God. That's not what he's here for. Jesus died so that we can have a place to go and offload. We can. And we were saying it earlier, but all of the Psalms is David teaching us how to process negative emotions through the Lord.
You know, pathologies are very interesting, because birds of the same feathers flock together. So there are people in your life sometimes where you bond over the things you've been through. So if you met people while you were depressed and they were depressed, and now the relationship becomes built on, you know, how bad our lives are, you create an environment that's now feeding that thing, you know. And we have to become aware, and that's why I mentioned families earlier, you know, that we can be in a family that is also cultivating a spirit of depression, or, you know, we see things in a way that has now told our minds how to process things. So I like what Letitia is saying here, that in her case, she had to make space to speak to God so God can teach her how to see things differently. So some of you are tuned in now, and yes, you want to be delivered, or you've been through deliverances, but post the deliverance, you've not done the other work where scripture speaks about now refurnishing the house. And what that means is you have to really sit down and say, I am not going to do things the way I used to, the way I know to, the way it's easy for me to, because I've been depressed my whole life, you know, the way I've created an environment to. There's a time in my life when God told me to cut certain friends out. because we were trauma bonding the whole time. Oh, you know, this happened to me. Oh, yes, this happened to me. And, you know, when you're crying about the things that happened to you and people pat you on the back, you get used to that patting. So it becomes harder for you to create an environment that will say, no, 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 we're not going to pat you. We're going to pull you out. You know, so I'm saying this to say that there's an element of this that requires you to acknowledge the enemy so you can do the fight that leads to you changing the environment. Now, you hang out with the Vambilis, 071-364-0376. Letitia, when we come back, what are we talking about?
When we come back, we're going to ask you what it's like to be on the outside of a depressed spouse. Those are the beautiful sounds of Stephen Stanley with Where I've Been. You're on Impact 103 with the Vambilis this morning. And Danny, we're switching hot seats now. I've been like fanning myself in studio the entire time because of how not even the good married kind, the other kind of stress. So now I'm going to throw it back to you. You know, the thing about depression is it's not an individual journey. It's really a communal journey because people are experiencing this person going through depression. And so I got delivered at 30, and I think at that time we'd been married for how long? 7 years?
Yeah, maybe seven.
That's hectic. Oh, wait, 6 years. Yes. So 6 years of the marriage, I was definitely going through the pits. What was that like for you?
I think it was very hard because I really wanted to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was the happiness I made you didn't last.
Yeah.
And I think the difficulty as a husband is, you know, we are raised to be the man and we're going to figure this thing out for our families. And not being able to do that made me feel like I was failing you as a wife, you know. And I really had to take this back to the Lord and allow him to make me realize that this was your journey.
It was a me thing,
it
not
was
a you thing.
Not a me thing. And then I would have to give you the space to heal, you know. And sometimes me wanting you to heal faster was actually an interference to your healing, you know. And that's why even as I speak here, I really want to encourage people that, man, there are things that you will not be able to fix.
Remember when you got me a car and it caused the biggest fight?
Yes, I remember that.
You were thinking I'm gonna be so happy, and we got into a fight because I honestly felt like I didn't deserve that car.
Yeah. And that was really mind-boggling to the husband who's just gotten, you know, this beautiful car. I won't mention the make, but it was German, you know. I thought she'll be happy now, and she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we're bringing all this to say, you know, it can make you feel as a partner that you are failing your depressed partner. And sadly, it's not true. You know, it might feel that way. You might feel like maybe if it's your child that you're letting your child down because you're not figuring this thing out. But beloved, I think there are things that only the Lord can heal.
Were you ever praying for me during that time? Did you ever feel so out of your depth that you were just like, God?
Interview. Yeah, I prayed for you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the devil at some point. Sometimes I thought it was you. At times I thought it was me. You know, it wasn't nice.
Yeah,
it was not the nicest experience. And it wasn't this cut clean thing that, you know, I'm explaining right now. Yeah. Because it was also depressing. I think at some point
you got depressed.
I got depressed, yes. Because I couldn't get you happy.
So how do you then encourage someone supporting another person going through depression? How did you get through me? And how can you speak to that person?
I would say to them to try to get information on depression so that it helps them to be more informed. And also to find preachers like Derek Prince who overcame depression, you know, to give you a spiritual understanding of it, but also the literature to give you the physical and emotional understanding of it, because you're going to need both.
The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Indeed, we're seeing your messages on 071-364-0376, and we'll tackle them next.
Wow. Yeah, the Vembillies are about to exit the building. How are you doing, Letitia?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I think this is a broad topic and goes further than even just depression, which is what we were focusing on today.
If you tuned in today and there's a message we just read, we're going to read you just now. But it's a thing where we all have to pray. We all have to identify, you know, what we're dealing with. Again, you know, we love to take a position that we don't have all the answers, but the Lord has allowed us to speak to you from our place of truth.
I think one takeaway from today is that Danny had a relationship with God outside of me. So God could lead him to a place of understanding. This wasn't about how bad of a husband he was, but it was about me dealing with something that was affecting the marriage. And I had enough of a relationship with God that he could begin to transform me and transform my mind. It's important to understand that spending time with the Word and spending time with the Lord is how we are transformed. There's nobody that's going to come and do the saving for you when you're not ready to be saved. Now, that being said, please come back next week because we have a part two of this episode of dealing with knowing who your enemy is, and you want to tune in for that as well.
So as we close off, let's quickly pray. And I think, Letitia, since you went through depression, maybe the authority is on you to pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the lives that you've given, that we're able to be alive and experience your love and your joy and your deliverance and healing. I pray that everyone that hears my voice, that your Holy Spirit will be where they are, ministering, touching them to reveal the source, the triggers, the cause, and that they will be set free and it will be loosed off of them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and we declare healing over our city, and we trust you because you are able to do beyond and above what we can ever think or imagine. Join us again next week, same time, same place. Au revoir.